You were the board chairman for 5 years?
No, I was appointed to the board in March of 2008.
And okay.
I was elected chairman of the board. I guess it was January 2009 after the election.
So you've been on the board for 5 years and you've been chairman for four?
Yeah, a little over four.
What's that experience been like?
It's been very busy, exciting. It was an honor to be able to serve, particularly on something that I philosophically believe in, but also have experienced firsthand in this community and in Illinois what the benefits can be. So it's been exciting. There's been a fair bit of frustration. We've had great success. It's been a wild ride.
And what's been frustrating?
Well, change is hard. We'll probably get into some things later, but we've done some changes in the organization and our funding, as you know, I've heard you report on it. You're well aware that passenger rail, for the most part, really nowhere in the world fully pays for itself. So our funding comes from the federal government, an amount for operating and then for capital. But that's always uncertain every year. There's not a dedicated source of revenue. And even though the Highway Trust Fund for highways comes out of the motor fuel tax or the gas tax, and it's not adequate now to fund all the things that are needed, there at least is a dedicated source of revenue for that. Amtrak has none. So every year we're in the budget. So every year somebody people who don't like passenger rail or for whatever reason can take a whack at Amtrak's. That's frustrating. So you never really know what your funding level is going to be. So you never really know how far out ahead you can plan to start the planning process to do, the engineering and the environmental work, thinking that 3 or 4 years down the line you're going to build this or you're going to buy this equipment. So when you never know what your funding is going to be. So that's frustrating, but, that's the way it is. And we work within that parameter pretty much. But it's just kind of a constant area of frustration. But that's minor. For the most part, it's been a great experience. I'm happy I did it, proud of what we've done and where Amtrak is right now in the country.
Yeah, what have you done? What would you say was the top accomplishment for Amtrak of the past 4 years?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask me that, and I can't. Well, I kind of put things in a couple categories, and I'm not going to duck the question. Kind of the inside game, and I call it the inside game and the outside game. So you'd have to say that the fact that we've had record ridership 9 out of the last 10 years is, and for the 5 years that I've been there, I mean, certainly, I don't take credit for that, but we've really seen a great ridership. Revenue is up, and certainly that's directly coordinated with ridership. I guess in there is a number that one of the things that Amtrak has gotten beaten up over, since its inception about 42 years ago, was the fact that we don't meet 100% of our operating costs, and it's been low in years. We're up now to the highest ratio of meeting those costs that Amtrak has ever been. That's we're up to 88%. So I attribute that to kind of the inside game that doesn't get publicized a lot of doing things internally in the company, of there's just basic business practices. So I think I'm most proud. It's hard not to be the most proud of having last year the record ridership for the company. But I think the thing that I'm most proud of is the things that we've done internally in the company, the people that we've hired to run the company. Our CEO, Joe Boardman, has been there since November of 2008. For those of you, and you're one who watches Amtrak, you know that we have a history of turning over CEOs pretty consistently, a couple years, two, three, four, or well, 4 years would be a long time. So we've had consistent leadership. Joe is building a very strong bench. We've got our finances under control. We know where our money is going, and the business practices that have been implemented have caused our need for federal operating subsidy to go down. I think that would probably be the thing that I'm most proud of inside. Along with the fact that we are, I think, really doing a good job in ridership and revenue. But the internal controls, I think, is the thing that I'm most proud of.
I think you said ridership is 88%. 88% of what?
No.
What do you mean?
Let's say it costs $100 to run this, or $1 million to run this service. So we recover 88% of that in the fare box.
All right.
Gotcha. And you know, if you look at transit agency summer, 20%, 30%, 40%, and we've been all over the board, but we are moving in the Northeast Corridor. We're in a positive situation as far as the operating costs of the Northeast Corridor. That's the corridor between Boston and Washington D.C. The state supported services pretty much take care of themselves, and the long distance trains lose money. I mean, but that's kind of the nature of that. Of that business, we're working hard to make those more efficient. but you're trying to lose less money, and you try to do that by running the business as well as you can. And I think Joe has done a really good job of that.
Do you see Amtrak expanding into more areas and perhaps more states?
Well, we are presently. Well, let's use Illinois for an example. We got two new services. The Chicago to the Quad City should be coming online in 2015. We're hopeful that Chicago to Rockford to Dubuque will be coming online pretty much in that time frame. We just expanded a new service into from Richmond to Norfolk, Virginia, bringing new routes online in new states. That could be happening. It's difficult to. There's a couple ways to do it. To expand the long distance service and in the long distance service, that's something that is totally under Amtrak's control. That's very difficult because we have to go to Congress and ask for the operating deficit of whatever long distance service we were going to do if we wanted to run from Chicago to Florida, say, restore that old service. That wouldn't pay for itself. It would lose whatever amount of money it would lose. If a state wants to get into the business, for the most part, the operating deficit is covered by the state. That's easier to do, and we are expanding service on the Northeast Corridor. But as you look at the route map, the national route map that you've seen, Rich, I don't see that changing dramatically in the next 4 or 5 years. I see frequencies increasing, like in Illinois, like in Michigan, like in Virginia. I see frequencies increasing some on the Northeast Corridor on the same routes. I see more efficiency coming to long-distance trains, but I really don't see the overall route map changing that much.
You were mayor of Macomb for 12 years. Did that in any way help prepare you for being Being a small-town mayor, did that help prepare you at all for being chairman of a national organization?
Well, yeah. It's it prepared me in a couple ways. One, being the mayor of an Amtrak community. I think if you put that term in there, it makes a big difference. Because you're not dealing with issues in the abstract when you're the mayor of an Amtrak community. You're in it for it's not a concept you're trying to preserve it's not a philosophical argument. I like passenger rail, and I think we ought to have a good passenger rail system. You're really there because you know what passenger rail can do from your community. Yeah, and I've seen that firsthand, not only in Macomb, but in all the other communities in Illinois and all the mayors and around the country that I've gotten to know over the years. So that's a great preparation because it gives you a solid background of the system, but it also since it's more personal that way that you're trying – You know what passenger rail can do. It's just not riding the train. It's economic development. It's tourism. It's it's your only connection to to Chicago. It's our form of public transportation to Chicago. So in that aspect, yes. As far as running a meeting and those types of things, I wouldn't say. But a board is a board. Whether you're a school board. City council in Illinois, or I've not served on large corporate boards. I think they're probably different, certainly. But whether you're working on the Amtrak board, you got personalities on the board. You got smart people on the board. Our board is not self-selected; they're presidential appointees. Not unlike it is on a city council. I mean, the mayor and the city manager or city administrator people, you select the city council members in Macomb. I mean, the voters do. So you never know who's going to come down the line. So boards have personalities. So, yeah, that's helpful. You've got to, people on the board have different opinions. You have to respect those opinions. You have to listen to them. You have to weigh the issues as they come in. So, yeah, I think it's helpful. The things we dealt with on this scale was much, much, much larger than what I was used to dealing with. But issues are issues. So we got through fine. I was happy with how it turned out. I was surprised when I went on the board. I had no thoughts of ever being chair. You just want to serve and do the best you can. But, elections have consequences. And then, when President Obama won and I'm sitting there as a Democrat and the board decided, rightfully so, that it was time to change leadership. So the chair of the board at that time, Donna McClain, we collectively decided it was time to change, and she went the vice chair, and I went the chair, and we just kept the same agenda and moved forward. So it's been a great experience, great board members. Absolutely no partisan issues on this Amtrak board. People are on there because they wanted to do the best for passenger rail in this country.
Do you remain on the board now, or are you – now that you're no longer chairman, are you off the board?
No, my term was up. Last Saturday, the 16th.
So you get appointed for a 5-year term?
5 years.
Then?
Yes.
Okay. Can you be reappointed, or how does this work?
You can. Yeah, yes.
Okay, but you chose not to be.
Well,
or that, did someone else choose for you not to be?
Well, that's kind of up in the air now. There's some things in the work and in the works, and we'll see how that turns out. But the term is for 5 years. It's interesting. I think they just had a change on trustees for universities in Illinois.
We've got a couple new ones at Western.
Where you used to serve until you were replaced, I believe, and now which you serve to a date certain, I believe.
I'm not entirely certain.
Well, regardless, legislation, the PREA legislation of 2008 changed, or 2009, I guess, changed it for Amtrak. It used to be Amtrak board members would serve for 5 years, and then I was certified by President Bush on March 17th, so I served until midnight March 16th, and then I'm done. I was done on that day, and another board member that came with me, Nancy Naples from Boston, Buffalo, New York. We are the last two members of the Amtrak board to come under that rule or regulation. New Amtrak board members now serve until they're replaced, which is a good thing, because the Amtrak board for years would work with, very few members, and sometimes not even enough to have a quorum, because you could never get anyone through the Senate. You couldn't get anyone. You couldn't get, for whatever reason, people weren't getting confirmed. So we have five board members sitting now, and all those board members will serve past their 5-year term until they are replaced by whoever is president, by whatever administration, which is a really good thing. So, and if I get back on, that's fine. And if not, somebody else will take my place. But Nancy and I were the last two that came under that old rule.
All right. So what's next for you? Or is that up in the air?
Up in the air.
I mean, all right.
I'm not looking for a job. I'm going to try to enjoy retirement and do a little riding on the train, I think. So.
To where? Some place you want to go in particular you haven't had a chance to?
Well, there's a lot of places. Yeah, yeah. It's a nice, relaxing way to travel. And there's a lot of interesting routes and people around the country that I've had a chance to visit, and I certainly want to go back. So, well, regardless whether I get back on the board or I'm back on the board or if I'm not, Gail and I plan to certainly make some trips.
All right, I think that should do it. Unless you want to add anything.
No. I guess the only thing I like to add is it's really kind of gratifying to be out in D.C. and listen to people from around the country. And they continually would ask me, "How did you do that in Illinois? How did you have the service for as long as you had it, and you had these state routes? How did you double the service? I mean, and it's kind of California used to be the everyone looked to California, and about 6 years ago, people wonder how Illinois, and then they watch the ridership go up. People watch that all the time. So it's really gratifying to see the work that was done in Illinois from you've been involved, from chambers of commerce and organized labor and economic development groups and tourism groups and mayors and everybody else working hard to support the service and double the service. And what we see here is now is we carry a little shy of 250,000 people on this route now. I mean, it's staggering the increases that have happened on these state-supported routes.
Is that the future of Amtrak, perhaps, is more in-state routes rather than cross-country or?
It is. That's where the significant growth is. On those routes that are connecting, sometimes they connect larger city pairs, but connecting Quincy to Chicago, in no one's mind, I mean, Quincy's a nice sized town, but that's not connecting a large city pair. That's not connecting Norfolk, Hampton Roads to Washington, D.C. But if you look at 250,000 people, if you look up in Michigan, the ridership there, and what's going on in Michigan between Detroit in Chicago, and then Chicago in St. Louis. In a few short years, you're going to be able to ride 110 miles an hour from St. Louis to Chicago to Detroit, a city that is while it's really under duress now, I mean, that city's going to come back, and passenger rail is going to be part of that. So what's going on in the Midwest, if you look at a map of the Midwest Regional Rail Initiative, look at that, what we call the Chicago hub. I mean, it just makes sense of connecting all the capitals, the major state universities, you know, this spine that goes out from around Chicago. But you hit it right on the head. Yes, that's you're absolutely right. And we're in the forefront of that. People look to Illinois as the model. And you know, I tell people all the time, we've doubled our ridership, and we're doing it at 79 miles an hour with old equipment and still got slow areas. So with a minimal investment, you can increase the efficiency. We've got new equipment coming down the line that's being built in Rochelle. I mean, future looks really bright, and Illinois and the Midwest is right in the middle of it. And we've had great leadership on the federal level. We've had strong grassroots work in Illinois. So and you're seeing the result of it. So that's really gratifying to see that because, you know, Illinois gets knocked around a little bit for various reasons around, but not for passenger rail, that's for sure. So.
All right. And Illinois will be getting new cars, I understand.
Yes, yes.
And high-speed rail service, it sounds
The Chicago-St. Louis is moving along well. As I mentioned, the same in Michigan, connecting the Midwest. It won't be long you'll be able to get on the train and go to the Henry Ford Museum in Dearborn and do a vacation in the Midwest and not have to worry about a car. That'll be nice. So and hooked up the local transit agencies and that those are good federal investments in my mind. So
all right. Thanks for coming in.
Appreciate it. Thank you.